But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with Mexico electing their first female president, move on to the Republicans' crusade to ban contraceptives, and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries. Did I forget to mention Donald Trump is a convicted felon? Let's begin, shall we? If we're being stereotypical, your average American probably doesn't think of Mexico as a more developed country than their own, thanks to the racism inherent in the system. But just like any and all supremacist assumptions, those Americans are not only wrong, they're double banjos backwards if they actually believe this bullshit. And that's because of the outcome of Mexico's recent presidential election.
This morning, Mexico electing the first woman president and first Jewish president in its 200-year history.
Claudia Sheinbaum's victory was an absolute landslide.
Porque por primera vez,
for the first time in the 200 years of the Republic, I will become the first woman president of Mexico.
Claudia Sheinbaum, a climate scientist, the former mayor of Mexico City, will also be the first Mexican president of Jewish heritage.
Sheinbaum, unlike the last two presidents, López Obrador and Enrique Peña Nieto, is fluent in English. She lived in the U.S. for some time while taking classes at Berkeley and Stanford. She has a PhD in energy engineering.
Of course she does. Because it looks to me like Mexico is saying no to electing unqualified men to the highest position in their country, with over 60% of the voters choosing Claudia Sheinbaum, and I love this for them. Mexico's new president is a physicist, holding a PhD in climate engineering, while also sharing a Nobel Peace Prize for her involvement in the UN's International Panel on Climate Change. Claudia is fluent in English, but she also is the former mayor of Mexico City, so she knows a thing or two about politics, which is important when you are choosing who you want to be the next president of your country, or so I've heard. And while Mexico is making their future female, America has chosen to recoil back to the darkest recesses of the 12th century. Case in point.
The vote on the so-called Right to Contraception Act has failed in the U.S. Senate. Yesterday's vote was 51 to 39, falling short of the 60 votes needed to move the bill forward.
The bill had little chance of passing, which may have been the point.
This is an effort by Senate Democrats to codify the right to contraception into law. The bill was introduced in response to the Supreme Court's move to strike down the federal right to abortion back in 2022.
Many dismissing the effort led by Democrats as a stunt, as contraception remains legal across the country.
Well, it's not a serious attempt to legislate. This is just a show vote in anticipation of the election.
This is continuing the campaign of fear-mongering we've already seen.
House Democrats have a similar companion measure to this contraceptive bill that they hope to move through a discharge petition, which basically would work around the Republican majority to try to bring this issue to the floor.
Okay. I'm not going to sit here and say that this was not an opportunity to showcase the hypocrisy when the Republicans say that they don't want to take away condoms, IUDs, and whatever else you buy at the CVS to prevent making another future worker. Because it was, just not in the way that maggots would have you believe. In the Let's Codify Contraception Act, the Dems not only mentioned the usual suspects from the Prevent a Baby aisle, but they also added preventative measures for those red as a screaming baby states, where governors have tended to use states' rights to force women to get pregnant by preventing them from preventing it. Which is the part every elected maggot is glossing over when they say that this bill is unnecessary because contraception isn't under attack. Except in Idaho, Missouri, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Michigan, where state Republicans have introduced legislation that would make getting the pill or the IUD actually impossible. And it's not like red states follow each other off the Brooklyn Bridge doing whatever the other forced birth states are doing. Except that's exactly how we ended up with 20 states outright banning abortion or giving a woman 6 weeks to figure her shit out. But either way, it's not like we could have known Republicans aren't ashamed to preserve their state's right to control a woman's body after listening to the previous day's congressional testimony between Washington State Senator Patty Murray and their favorite cosplaying Aunt Lydia, Miss Christine Francis. Roll tape.
Dr. Francis, I have a question for you, and I want a simple yes or no. Do you believe that women should have access to Plan B?
I believe that women deserve to have accurate information about their health care.
I'm not asking you that question. Do you believe that women should have access to Plan B?
I think that women should be given any medication under the supervision of a physician.
So you support access to Plan B?
I support women having access to accurate information and care from a physician.
Do you believe that women should have access to medication abortion? Just yes or no.
Chemical abortion are dangerous, high-risk drugs.
So no. Do you believe women should have access to IUDs? Yes or no?
I believe that, again, women should receive comprehensive health care under the direction of a physician.
Access to IUDs? Do you believe women should have access to IUDs? Yes or no?
I believe that women should have access to OBGYN physicians who can counsel them about all of their options.
I think that is a no. And I want to ask you for the record today, do you think that IUDs and emergency contraceptives are abortive patients? Yes or no?
So if you look at the package inserts for such as the copper IUD, it actually clearly states that they do prevent implantation, even if fertilization has occurred, which would classify that as an abortive fashion. Yes,
do you believe
per
that?
The package insert.
Oh, your God. You just heard a woman with nothing but her faith in Republican Jesus say with all the confidence of a 90s makeover movie that anything that prevents the implantation of an egg in the uterus is causing an abortion. That statement is not only a verbal demonstration of Christina's idiocracy, but it is this high school dropout level understanding of the female anatomy that is behind Republicans pushing to redefine what constitutes an abortion. And at the forefront of this ignorance is controlling women's bodies movement is the unironically named American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, spearheaded by none other than Christina Francis. And here is Washington State Senator Murray to explain what Christina and her organization is all about.
Dr. Francis, your organization has taken the mind-boggling position that abortion is never necessary to save a woman's life. According to resources that were put out by your organization, you recommend that in cases of dangerous pregnancy complications, women should be forced to labor for 24 hours being treated with blood transfusions in intensive care, even if their pregnancy is non-viable, just so they can deliver a, quote, intact fetus. It has also been well documented how your organization is working behind the scenes with Republican lawmakers to redefine certain kinds of contraceptives as abortions, so you can ultimately ban those types of contraceptions. And it's really important for people to understand the Republican minority has specifically invited you to this hearing today, despite those dangerous positions.
Oh, no, Patty. Republicans invited Christina to speak because of her dangerous positions. Christina and her organization have been assisting state Republican lawmakers with their English definitions, specifically when redefining what an abortion is, as I mentioned earlier. And in Republican Jesus-thumping states such as Georgia, Texas, South Dakota, and many others, Christina's forced birth group is doing their part to ensure as many future workers of America are born. Because obviously, Republicans would rather see 10-year-olds have babies than allow one more immigrant to enter this country. But I digress. The point is, maggots attack anything they don't understand, like decency, empathy, or science. For example, the bad-billed butch body from Georgia decided to Karen all over a Republican-led hearing featuring Dr. Anthony Fauci and the COVID-19 response that happened 4 years ago. Of course, it's not like bleach blondes with Neolithic genetics can hold a grudge for that long. Or can they?
You think that's appropriate? Do the American people deserve to be abused like that, Mr. Fauci? Because you're not doctor. You're Mr. Fauci in my few minutes. No, I don't need your answer. I want to talk about this right here.
Mr. Chairman, objection.
I reclaim my time.
Mr. Raskin, point of order.
Just in terms of the rules of decorum, are we allowed to deny that a doctor is a doctor just because we don't want him to be a doctor?
Yes, because in my time, that man does not deserve to have a license. As a matter of fact, it should be revoked, and he belongs in prison.
Gentlelady, suspend. The gentlelady should recognize the doctor as a doctor.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, is this what we have become? Is this what we have devolved into?
Yeah. And I've got news for you. It's only downhill from here as long as the intellectually challenged voters of Georgia's 3rd District continue to reelect this scientifically challenged Nepo baby right back to Congress. Which explains why Monster Truck Garage was later recorded having a Paleolithic tantrum in the hallway by reporters who were hanging out during the Fauci isn't a doctor hearing.
We have Jamie Raskin in there accusing us of worshiping Trump, worshiping as a convicted felon.
Well, yes,
so is George Floyd and everybody, and you all too. The media worship George Floyd. Democrats worship George Floyd. There were riots burning down the fucking country over George Floyd, and Raskin is in there saying we worship him. Excuse me, let me correct you. I don't worship, I worship God. God, and Jesus is my savior. I don't worship President Trump, and I'm really sick and tired of the bullshit annex I have to deal with constantly from the Democrats. Oh no, it's nonstop BS and annex. You wanna know why? The Democrats don't have anything. They're responsible for the lockdowns, forced vaccinations, kids being forced to stay home, people committing suicide, and all the horrors that this country lived through during COVID. Fauci belongs in prison. He should be tried for mass murder, and he should be tried for crimes against humanity. That's how I feel after that hearing.
Oh yeah, no, we got that. But the best part of all of this is Moaning Traitor Gangrene posted that Mega Karen moment to her social media account on the website formerly known as Twitter. Because if you throw a cuss-filled fit in the halls of Congress after being ejected from a formal hearing and no one is around to record it, did you even throw a fit? Oh, and while we're on the subject of worshiping convicted felons, it's cult intervention comments like this one from Senator Eric Swalwell that got Marjorie's granny panties all in a bunch.
My colleagues, your inconsistencies, your hypocrisy, your sycophancy, I'm starting to think you're in a cult. So if you believe in states' rights, except when a jury in that state convicts your nominee for president, you might be in a cult. If you claim you back the blue but want to defund the police when the police go to your nominee's house to retrieve national security secrets, you might be in a cult. If you're supporting a guy whose felony convictions prevent him from getting a security clearance, you might be in a cult. And if the guy you're supporting for president has convictions that prevent him from going Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Cambodia, Canada, Chile, China, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Egypt, Ethiopia, Hong Kong, India, Indonesia, Iran, Ireland, Israel, Japan, Kenya, Macau, Malaysia, Mexico, Morocco, Nepal, New Zealand, Peru, Philippines, Singapore, South Africa, South Korea, Taiwan, Tanzania, Tunisia, Turkey, Ukraine, United Arab Emirates, and the UK. You might be in a cult.
Oh, Eric. That was brilliant. And you are not wrong, sir. And I don't know about all of you, but all the pissing and moaning going on over at Fox Not a News Channel and other right-wing media outlets ever since Dolt 45 became a convicted felon is absolutely hilarious. And in that, oh, you're definitely in a cult kind of way, take a listen.
Just 15 minutes after the verdict was announced, Trump's campaign sent out its first post-conviction email. The top of the message read, quote, "I am a political prisoner."
This was a sham, rigged political show trial.
This is the most outrageous travesty I've ever seen.
This was a political smear job.
I guess we all need, what, to shop at Banana Republic from now on? Because that's what it feels like. Yeah, a Banana Republic.
This is a justice system that hunts Republicans.
In their years-long quest to turn America into a whole country.
How could this happen? This is America. This is democracy. This isn't the Soviet Union. This isn't some banana republic. How can this happen?
We are a country that was born of revolution. Revolution is in our DNA. My insides are so angry.
We're going to get back up. We're going to regain our strength. And then we're going to vanquish the evil forces that are destroying this republic.
Oh, vanquishing evil forces, you don't say. You know, I had no idea fake news joke host Jesse Waters was into D&D, but I gotta say, it tracks. And by the way, the evil forces these snowflakes are crying about happen to be the American legal system. You know, the backbone of America. The thing that makes us a nation of laws, not a nation ruled by an inbred Nepo baby. Which most likely means there is a self-serving angle to all of this. So, guys, tell me more about this vanquishing and how it's all supposed to go down.
Be ready, because on January 20 of next year, when he's former President Joe Biden, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
The Daily Wire's Matt Walsh said Trump should, quote, make and publish a list of 10 high-ranking Democrat criminals who he will have arrested when he takes office.
These Democrats will rue the day they decided to use lawfare to stop a presidential candidate. It won't be Hunter Biden the next time. It's going to be Joe Biden.
We need to be subpoenaing Judge Mershon and his daughter. What are the connections between big Democratic money and this sham prosecution? Did George Soros ever talk to Alvin Bragg about using his power to go after Donald Trump? We need to be willing to actually punish it. That is the only, again, the only language that I think these people are going to understand is that if they do this, if they turn the American system of justice into banana republic garbage, they're going to suffer consequences for it. And if they don't, it's not going to stop with Donald Trump. Banana republics never stop with the guy at the top.
And that Freudian slip was brought to you by the poorly educated. Banana republicans is the perfect way to describe what I just heard. And hey, listen, I understand. It must be hard for all of you, with all of that impotent rage that you're feeling since your favorite broke-ass billionaire got 34 felony convictions based on evidence and testimony. But honestly, that's how it goes in a court of law, even on TV. And just like Fox admitted in court that their network is for entertainment purposes only, while parading on air as if they are a legitimate source of news. When it comes to the law, there's no plausibility to hide behind. See, in court, it's not the version of what you believe happened. It's what you can prove happened with evidence. Because the legal system knows any schmuck on TV can say anything. And that doesn't make it true. And speaking of schmucks saying things that aren't true on TV, here's the ambulance chaser the convicted Orange hired to make the most hilariously stupid excuse for why he lost the case against New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg.
When he was leaving, one thing he brought up were the witnesses who were not called. And he was saying that there could have been witnesses that would have helped make the case.
It was very unfair. We weren't allowed to use our, you saw what happened to some of the witnesses that were on our side. They were literally crucified.
Why didn't the defense call any of these witnesses?
Well, because we happen to live in America
and we don't have the burden of proof. That's not the point. That's a question that is a loaded question that should not be asked of a defense attorney or a defendant. The question that we asked the jury, and they ultimately obviously got passed, is why the prosecution didn't call those witnesses, right? You, as a defense attorney, you don't go into a case saying, I'm going to fill the holes of the prosecution, right? And Keith Schiller and some of the other witnesses that were not ultimately called, in our view, should have been called by the prosecution, and we asked the jury to take a hard look at that. I don't know whether they did or not, but they convicted.
Yeah. You know, that is some of the most, I think, Americans are as dumb as my client is, bullshit that I have ever heard come out of a lawyer's mouth that isn't reading a script. So for all of you who did not go to law school, and for those of you who have watched over a decade of Law and Order and think that's the equivalent of a law degree, that is not how any of that shit works. The prosecution is not responsible for calling witnesses for the defense. That is the responsibility of the D-average lawyer Eric's dad hired to defend him. Each side presents to the judge a list of witnesses that they would like to call during trial, and it is their responsibility to call those witnesses to testify. Neither side is forced to call all the witnesses that they had on their list, but they are restricted to their own lists, you fucking moron. Which makes me wonder, whenever this sort of ridiculousness comes out of the Genghis Khan camp, maybe there is a distraction from what really happened that's going on here. And since the convicted fraud father lies for a living, my curiosity has piqued, which is why I'm wondering why the defense did not call their own witnesses. Or maybe it's because of this?
The new report in ProPublica says 9 potential witnesses in Donald Trump's criminal cases are getting big financial benefits from Trump's companies and his campaign committees. The pay of Trump campaign advisor and lawyer Boris Epstein more than doubled.
The campaign said is that, you know, his responsibilities simply increased. But when we sort of delved into that claim and asked, you know, did the number of hours he's working increase? What they said was that, you know, everyone's already working 24/7.
Trump Organization executive Alan Weisselberg got a $2 million severance package that bars him from voluntarily cooperating with law enforcement. The daughter of top Trump campaign official Susie Wiles was hired as the fourth highest paid employee. And another Trump aide, Dan Scavino, was given a good seat on Trump's social media board after he was subpoenaed, but before he testified.
Between the time he got a subpoena to testify before the grand jury and when he actually did testify before the grand jury, he got a position on the board of Trump's media company. Trump is famously a micromanager and prides himself as a penny pincher. So the idea that someone's salary going up by 20%, someone ending up on the board of his media company without his knowledge is a bit of a question given his history.
Oh, I think we found it. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the reason Magallardo's attorney did not call 9 of his own witnesses and is now trying to blame the prosecution for not calling his witnesses is because he couldn't. Because even this embarrassment to the bar knows, in a court of law, you can't parade plausibility and unsubstantiated lies like the right-wing media does. So once Mine Incompetent bribed those witnesses after they were subpoenaed to testify, they could no longer testify. If the prosecution found out about the payoffs, they would just ask the witnesses on cross-examination and present any evidence that they had, which wouldn't be hard considering the hush money scheme was written down by one of the witnesses Old Yeller bribed. And even Schittler's attorney knew this basic tenet of the law: thou shall not bribe witnesses. Hence why the defense could only call 2 of their witnesses to the stand, which totally explains why the shortest excuse for a Speaker of the House, Mr. Mike Johnson, recently complained publicly on camera in front of a podium on Capitol Hill to a room full of supporters about the outcome of this case.
But one of the things that is also in jeopardy right now is our judicial branch, and it's our system of government itself. How much that has been abused under this administration, and with local prosecutors, state prosecutors, and at the federal level, who are using lawfare, they're using our judicial system to go after political opponents. The most obvious example of that, and I think the most egregious one in history, is what is being done to Donald Trump right now. If there's ever been an example of lawfare, the trial is being orchestrated by Democrat supporters of President Biden who are trying to make a name for themselves. We've got a Democrat district attorney, a Biden donor judge, whose daughter is a Democratic political consultant. The DA has decided to bring an 8-year-old bookkeeping charge that rests on the testimony of a long-proven liar and perjurer. And the judge, who is a well-known Democrat, is pursuing an indefensible gag order on President Trump. You cannot call yourself a serious judge and threaten a presidential candidate with jail time when he defends his reputation in public in the middle of a campaign.
You know, there is so much wrong with what Mikey just said right there. But the worst part is that he thinks everyone listening to him is a dumb fuck. See, Little Johnson would have us all believe that when a district attorney, an elected position, brings a business owner to court for falsifying business records and then provides evidence to the court that those records were definitely falsified, that is the very same thing as using the legal system to damage or delegitimize a political opponent. Seriously. The tiniest maggot in Congress wants all Americans to think a prosecutor who is in elected position uses testimony from a co-conspirator who has already gone to prison for this very same crime. And that is lawfare, when it's actually just a Tuesday at the courthouse. And because Flaccid Johnson has his panties all in a bunch over his commander in Christian nationalism being a convicted felon, he wants everyone to know the Republicans aren't going to take it anymore.
It's the weaponization of our justice system. These cases are coordinated political attack, plain and simple. They are a clear attempt to keep Donald Trump in the courtroom and off the campaign trail. It's an election interference. It is borderline criminal conspiracy, and the American people see right through. President Trump has done nothing wrong here, and he continues to be the target of endless lawfare. It has to stop. And you're going to see the United States Congress address this in every possible way that we can, because we need accountability, and we're going to get down to the bottom of it. All these cases need to be dropped because they are a threat to our entire system.
Oh, well, clutch my pearls. You feel threatened by the orange turd becoming a convicted felon 34 times over? And the best response you could come up with is to use your position as an elected House representative to do what? Write laws that make indicting a former president turned orange jumpsuit aficionado for crimes he committed illegal? You better watch it, Mikey. That sounds a bit Banana Republic, if you ask me. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. And we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. And to Durr for now.